Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into God's house. Welcome Christmas Eve. Welcome Christmas. I can't do the whole thing from the Grinch, mind you, but welcome to God's house on Christmas Eve, Sunday, for the sermon titled, Come In and Know Me Better, Man. And you probably know by now, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, we have to tell the old story. While you're looking that up, brother and preacher and a Catholic priest who were both really great friends was riding along in the backcountry going to see people in their car. And they was talking and loving and having a good time, and all of a sudden a rabbit run out in the road, and before the brother and preacher could stop the car, hit the rabbit and killed it. They got out of the car and they was all broken up over God's creature being hurt. And the brother and preacher's just standing there loving and just, I'm so sorry and so sad. And the Catholic priest said, wait a minute. And he reached in his back pocket and he pulled out a little jug with some liquid in it. And he sprinkled it on. And he said some Catholic words in Latin. Dominus posthumus post mortem charismus bispus. I don't know what Latin is. And suddenly in front of them, the rabbit began to come back together. It healed magically, stood up and looked at them, and hopped away. And the brother and preacher was like, it's a wonderful, wonderful gift. Was that holy water that you sprinkled on that rabbit? The Catholic priest said, no, it was hair restorer. I had to get through that one. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. And so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, whom he was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the angels said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him out in prayer. Would you please join me? Father, as we celebrate the day before the birth of our Savior, let us be lifted up through these words from you. Let us be strengthened. Let us be carried along, Father. We thank you in all these things, and we praise you for this great gift, for this reminder of what is about to take place. Watch over and keep us and strengthen us, and let us use these words to shine the light of Jesus in the week to come. In His name we pray and give thanks. And all of His children said, Amen. Awakening in the middle of the night of a prodigiously tough snore, and setting up in bed to get his thoughts together, Scrooge had no occasion to be told the bell was again upon the stroke of one. He felt that he was restored to consciousness in the right nick of time for the especial purpose of holding a conference with the second messenger dispatched to him. Now, being prepared for almost anything, he was not by any means prepared for nothing. Consequently, when the bell struck one, no shape appeared. He was taken with a violent fit of trembling. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a quarter of an hour went by, yet nothing came. And all this time, he lay upon his bed, the very core and center of a blaze of ruddy light, which streamed upon it when the clock proclaimed the hour. He began to think that the source and secret of this ghostly light might be in the adjoining room, from whence, and on further tracing it, it seemed to shine. This idea taking full possession of his mind, he got up softly, shuffled into his slippers, and to the door. The moment Scrooge's hand was on the lock, a strange voice called to him by his own name and bade him enter, and he entered. It was his own room, no doubt about that, but it had undergone a surprising transformation. The walls and ceiling were so hung with living green that it looked like the perfect grove, from every part of which gleaming berries glistened. The crisp of holly, mistletoe, ivy reflected back, such a mighty blaze roaring up from his chimney. Scrooge's time or Marley's time had never seen such a delight. Heaped on the floor to form a throne were turkeys, geese, game, poultry, brawn, great joints of meat, suckling pigs, long wreaths of sausages, minced pies, plum puddings, barrels of oysters, red-hot chestnuts, cherry-cheeked apples, juicy oranges, luscious pears, immense 12th cake layers. Now, I have to stop here for a moment, I'm sorry. Man, I am hungry. That made the chamber dim with their delicious steam. And in this state, on the couch, sat such a jolly giant who bore a glowing torch and glorious to see with a shape not unlike Plenty's horn, held it high to shed its light as Scrooge came peeping round the door. "Come in," he exclaimed. "Come in and know me better, man." It's one of my favorite parts of that entire book. Not just the movie, but the book. The whole book starts off in one phrase: lost, destruction, hate, anger. And yet, even after the first visit, he is still lost and scared and afraid. But as he opens that door and beholds the ghost of Christmas present sitting there. I was talking to someone in our congregation a couple of weeks ago about how much we both love A Christmas Carol, the story, the book, the movies. And we both have come to the same conclusion. We look for that moment when the countenance changes. Right, Jill?
Yep.
For me, it's this point. Scrooge's countenance begins to change. And he begins to see hope and love and warmth. Scrooge reverently did so. He walks in and he sees all this stuff. And he's trembling and he's unconstrained by the demeanor and by the joyful air. And girded around the middle was an antique scabbard with no sword in it and an ancient sheath that was eaten up by rust. "You have never seen the likes of me before?" exclaimed the spirit. "Never." Scrooge made an answer to it. "Have never walked forth with my younger members of my family. My elder brothers born in these later years?" questioned the phantom. I don't think I have, said Scrooge. I am afraid I have not. Have you many brothers, Spirit? More than 1,800, said the ghost. Tremendous family to provide for. And in those moments, Scrooge begins to feel light. He begins to feel lifted. And for me, that is the moment in the book when I start to get all blubbery. Because I know what's coming. I've read the book, I don't know how many times, seen all the movies. My family is suffering through it. And for those of you that are not quite clear on things, later on tonight, we will all sit down and watch the greatest iteration of it, The Muppet Christmas Carol. But those simple words, come in and know me better, man. The ghost of Christmas present. We all know what happens next. He touches the road. He looks towards what's going on underneath of him. And suddenly everything vanishes. And thus Scrooge is off to his second visit with his second ghost, with his second conference. And though there would be more in this visit, we get a realization. In the present lies hope, love, warmth, everything that we need. All of this goodness, all of everything we can see or learn or know this Christmas season is boiled down to this simple statement, know me better. Know me better. I truly do, and I know many of you as well, but I truly do get lost, and I have the time to do it with my trip going down the road in the morning in the dark, with my trip coming home in the afternoon. I have time to get lost in thinking what really took place that night. I don't know who wrote it. I'm not sure anybody does. But it says if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us the scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economy major. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, love, and mercy. And God sent us Jesus, the Savior. And all we need do is come in and know Him better. Isn't that the meaning of the birth of Jesus? Isn't that what we look toward this season? We don't look toward what's going on underneath the tree, mostly. We look toward what we can find within ourselves to strengthen our heart, to look around us, to be in love with the season, in love with mankind, and tell them, Merry Christmas. Jesus was born this day. And all who look upon Him, all who come in and know Him better, are saved. When I read through this scripture, which I recently learned a very interesting fact about that whole section of Luke 2. Now, I know everyone in here, at least once in your lifetime, has seen a Peanuts Christmas. Correct? Say amen. Amen. And we all know that part where Charlie Brown loses his mind and doesn't anybody know what the meaning of Christmas is? And Linus comes in and quotes this scripture. Charles Schulz was an extremely devout Christian. And he wanted that message brought forth when he put this together. And when he showed it to the executives of the television station, they said, you cannot put that on television. 1966, I think. You cannot put that scripture on television. You cannot do this with a child's cartoon. You cannot do it. And Charles Schulz said, then my kingdom ends here. I will not draw another cartoon. I will void all my contracts. Everything will be done unless it goes on the way I have written it. We all know what happened. The story of Jesus Christ and His birth was broadcast to millions and still is today. And I dare say there's not a single person anywhere that doesn't know that that scene takes place. They shut up for a minute and let their heart be filled with joy love and understanding that the only thing that this season means is to know Jesus better. Come in and know me better, man. They get to town. They go to register. There's no room for them. Where are they sent to? They're sent to the barn, to a hole cut out in a rock amongst the animals. And I'm telling you, we've talked about it before. If you've ever gone into the barn amongst donkeys and pigs and whatever else was in there, the earthly scent is fulfilling. Amen? You ought to make that into a candle. We'll call it manger smell. It is something that you don't forget when you walk out of it for hours afterwards. You still smell the barn. There wasn't a bed. There wasn't a cradle. There wasn't anything. She gave birth between her, Joseph, and the animals, and wrapped Jesus in cloth and laid him in a feed trough. And there began to ponder. And out on the field, the shepherds, the lowest of the low, those who took care of the flocks to feed everybody else, those who were remanded away from decent society because of their smell, because of their stature, because of where they were placed, they were way out in the field when suddenly to the lowest of the low, as if to tell them, come in and know me better, man, the angels appeared and sang to them and said, go to the stable. There's something there you need to see. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Emmanuel, the Savior, has been born. Go see it. And they got up and they went. And when they got to the door, the Bible makes note, if you read it correctly, that they peered in first. And the next steps was as if to say, God telling them, come in and know me better, man. And they went in and saw the baby. Luke, writing about that, says that they marveled at what they saw, and they told everyone about what had been told them out on the plains. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. I'm sure as they made their way, they gathered up townspeople to see what all the fuss and commotion was about. And they turned and they proclaimed. And after they had spent time looking at this marvel, looking at this baby wrapped in strips of linen as a foreshadow of things to come, laying in a feed trough in a manger, they got to praise God for the beauty and glory of what they saw. No hope, no light, no nothing for the Jewish people, for people in general, for hundreds and hundreds of years. And now they see hope, warmth, love, light. They came in and they knew it better. My dad told this story. I don't even remember when. It was forevermore and 2 days ago. But there's a story that has stuck with me and it rolls into my head every Christmas. He talks about a bunch of kids putting on a Christmas play one year and how they were going to recreate Mary and Joseph and the birth of Jesus, and how Mary and Joseph would come into town and they would be turned away. And a young fellow was given the job of being the innkeeper, and his job was as such. My wife is with child and is going to bear. Please, we need to come in. And we all know that the innkeeper said, there ain't no room. We have nothing. Everyone's in town. You can't be here. Where can I go? Go out there with the animals. And they rehearsed and they practiced and they rehearsed. And the young man that was responsible for being the innkeeper, having read the scripture, that day as the play was being put forth in front of family and friends, my wife is about to have a baby. Is there any room? And trembling and with tears rolling down his face, he threw the door open, crying, saying, come in, come in, come in. Please come in and be with us. Come in and know me better, man. That is the theme that I want us to ponder on for the rest of this. We do know Jesus better. We do know who He is. We do know what He's about. But there are so many out there who need their hearts changed. And they don't need it by being told what they're doing wrong. We all know it. They need to be told in this manner. Jesus loves you, period. Come in and know Him better. It'll change your heart. And we know that it did. And he went to church and walked about the streets and watched the people hurrying to and fro and patted children on their head and questioned beggars and looked down into the kitchens of the houses and up to the windows and found everything that could yield him with pleasure. And in the afternoon, he turned toward the steps of his nephew's home. He passed the door a dozen times before he had the courage to go up and knock, and did it. "Is your master at home, my dear?" said Scrooge to the girl. "Nice girl, very nice girl." "Yes, sir." "Where is he, my love?" said Scrooge. "He's in the dining room, sir, along with mistress." "I'll show you upstairs if you please." "Thank you. He knows me," said Scrooge with his hand already on the dining room lock. I'll go in, dear." Then he turned it gently and sidled his face in and peered around the door into the warmth and love. They were looking at the table, which was arranged in such great array. "Fred," said Scrooge. Dear heart alive, how his knees started. Scrooge had forgotten for a moment about her sitting in the corner with the footstool, or he wouldn't have done it on any account. "Well, bless my soul," said Fred. "Who's that?" "It is I, your Uncle Scrooge. May I come in? I have come to dinner. Will you let me in, Fred?" "Let him in? It is a mercy he didn't shake his arm off. He was at home in 5 minutes, and nothing could be better. Nothing could be heartier. They surrounded him. They loved him. They put upon him, and they put him forth into the true spirit and meaning of Christmas. Come in and know me better, man." Robert Luckett, in the book The Minister's Manual, 1994, by James Cox, wrote these words: "In New York Hayden's Planetarium, a special Christmas holiday show was enhanced by an added feature. A giant lollipop tree was projected onto the planetarium dome, surrounded by a horizon filled with brilliantly colored toys, which came to life and cavorted around to the tune of jingle bells. And at the climax of it all, a huge figure of Santa Claus faded out in a snowstorm, and the Star of Bethlehem broke into the sky, produced exactly as it would have been on the night of the Nativity. The designer of the show may not have realized that he dramatically staged the supreme Christmas message our worlds needed to understand, recovering the lost meaning of Christmas. It's a tragic loss to substitute jingle bells for Hark the Herald Angels Sing and a lollipop tree for the manger in Bethlehem. The instinct is to fade out those things in the light of the Christmas star. It is about God's incarnation. It is about that moment in the manger when He beckoned us in. It is about that moment when we realize that God is with us." Yea, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to Thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. Come in and know me better, man. Christ the Lord. I wish each and every one of you Merry Christmas, love and happiness in this day and the days to come. May you all be blessed and strengthened. Let us pray. Father, as we come before you, let us realize that you said those words to us, come in and know me better. And we did. And we found love and joy and freedom and mercy and grace and everything. Now let us utter those same words to the lost. Let us petition this season to be, come in and know me better. Let us be strengthened in these days to come. And in those quiet moments, let us be ever more thankful for Jesus Christ, the greatest gift for our salvation. And for us to be able to echo those words to all who need to know and love him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, a little manger that held a king so many years ago. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Joseph, for answering. Thank you all for letting us come in and know him better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.